When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I'm Sam Smodix. You're listening to The Yellow Block, a Peterborough United podcast.
Hi, I'm Jason Neal, one of the co-owners of Peterborough United. I must warn you that The Yellow Block podcast contains some strong language and adult themes, so be warned and enjoy.
Welcome to The Yellow Block, Peterborough United podcast, sponsored by the Muck Classico. I am Jared, and I am joined by Mr. Matthew Kisby.
Good evening.
And Nathan Brown.
Evening.
Are you well, chaps?
Good, yeah, very well.
Happy days. No Sam or Tim this week as they're tied up. Dan still hasn't returned.
I can hear those dials being turned off now.
Yeah, people are going to tune out now. Yeah, Dan's not back either. His mic's broken and the producers forgot to buy him a new one. So he will return at some point. Football season is back. It's good, isn't it? It's nice to be back. Not just because we obviously two wins on the spin, but just football back in general.
It's funny, I always think when because I go to all the home matches, you know, I enjoy it.
By
the
end of the
season, yeah.
Oh, you never mentioned it.
Thank you.
I hide it well, but I do enjoy it. But at the end of the season, you're sort of ready for a break, aren't you? And then about 2 weeks, sometimes slightly less into the break, you're thinking, I'm really missing football.
That's the thing about being a posh fan, isn't it? Like you say, Kisby, come May, you are ready for that break. You have it mentally.
Yeah, there's a burnout.
Definitely. Since recording, we've played 2 and 1-2. It's been a long while since we've said that. We'll be talking about Morecambe and Cheltenham, as well as Sammy Smodic's departure. The outputs from the fans' forum and Kisby's ponytail. How ridiculous is it? That's all coming up on The Yellow Block. Wanted to thank everyone for listening to the first episode of the season. It's our most successful preview episode to date. Sam and Nathan proving to be quite the summer signings. Also a shout out to those on the graveyard shift. We've had a delve into the stats and it shows that a lot of listens in the early hours of the morning. So yeah, that's a good thing. I suppose people on night shift and that. And if, you know, let us know where you're listening to it. Thing is, though, early hours of the morning, you're listening to Matt Kisby's voice. Ooh, can you get a sleep finish work? I'm not so sure. But yeah, if you are listening in the early hours now, let us know what you're doing. Unless it's something untoward, then yeah, probably don't. Before we begin, let's address something. Nathan, you got called out on Twitter after your first week of being a part of the Yellow Block for being a two-team Tony. So I think let's just get that out there. Apparently, your Twitter bio, the producer tells me, change shortly after, so you got an update for us on that?
I've changed it, having been called out. To be fair, I've been called out plenty of times, it's nothing new, but I thought, yeah, to be fair, it was time to change it, because I don't want to upset
anybody. May we ask who the second team is?
Especially after today, it's not the greatest question. United, mainly. Ooh, and everybody always goes ahead with the glory hunter thing. It was more just because I used to love Beckham as a kid when I watched England games. So, quite frankly, he could have played for Huddersfield and I'd have supported them.
And we all love Beckham growing. Well, apart from Kisby, of course, because he's 60 years old, so he wouldn't have...
At least he's had one of his haircuts.
Man United fan as well. But we'll forgive you for that, Nathan.
Cheers.
The ratings are good last week, so you're back for a bit longer. Steve Dilly got in touch. He said, great pod as always, lads, and welcome back. You were never going away, were you? Well, I think we was, to be fair. But we're back, and that's the main thing. Looking forward to this season, as are we, Steve. Hondo McLean. I think Hondo must have been one of the first ever listeners to the podcast. He got in touch and said, great listen, and the new hosts fit in really well. Paul Murray said, great show again. Keep it up the good work and up the posh. I want a great lineup too. Happy days. Dave F got in touch saying, good opening pod to the 2022-23 season. It all seemed a bit more structured than usual. Sam and Nathan seem to appear to be excellent additions to the team. Nice one. Kisby, that's a bit of a kick in the bollocks to me and you, isn't it? Really? Say,
not a single mention of me doing that. Not a single mention. Yeah.
And the fact that it seems more structured now, there's two other people. So
what they're saying is it's so much better with the new people than the old people. Let's summarise what they're saying.
Nicholas Atkinson posted on Patreon, so thank you for supporting us, Nick, appreciate that. Can we discuss who has taken seat P59 in the London Road End? This is one of the first taken, but is bang behind a pillar. Can we confirm, is it Matthew Kisby? Kisby, can you confirm, put it to bed, do you have seat P59?
I don't know, but I am sitting next to a bald bloke. That I can confirm. I did go half an hour early. There's been a little bit of controversy about the safe standing from what I gather on social media recently. I thought I'll go like half an hour early because it'll flummox me. Like I'm to sit, find a seat. Because last time I went to find it when they did the open day, they hadn't built them yet, which was a typical posh thing, isn't it? Come on down, look at your seat. Oh, we haven't built it yet, but it'll be in this general area.
The producer of this podcast posted a screen grab of, well, us all on the call last week, and it got some interaction. I was quite worried, to be honest, when I see all the comments. There's many people saying that we didn't look, you know, how they thought. Now, I've listened to podcasts in the past where I've never actually seen the people on it, and yeah, it is always odd when you actually see the faces and associate them with the voices you've been listening to. But the main comment which came through, which I loved, was Tim's much older than I expected. I think there was like four or five different comments, and Tim actually said on the group chat, he goes, Tim is only, what is he meant to be, Tim Kisby, 33 or something?
If that, I think. Very early 30s, yeah.
Which is unbelievable because he does look, he looks pickled, doesn't he? Bless him. Right. So since we recorded last, and we had a big departure, Sammy Smodic has been sold to Blackburn for a reported. Now we've got to say reported because obviously it's undisclosed, but it's reported it's 2.5 million. So round the table, Kisby, thoughts on Sammy Smodic leaving and the reported fee?
I was a big fan of him two seasons ago in League One. I thought he was a really good League One player, and I thought he had the potential to be much, much better. He was a type of player I liked. I went off him quite a lot last season because, A, he wasn't very good, but it wasn't so much that because none of them were any good last season. It was his attitude a little bit that I don't like it when players seem to be very happy when managers go. You know, you may like or not like a manager. You may agree or disagree with their tactical, you know, how they're playing the tactics of the team. That's immaterial. You still give your best for that team, even if you don't agree with the manager. And I think he was a bit, well, I'm a bit too good for this team and I'm a bit too good for this manager. And there was a little bit of that coming through, I think. And I think he was very happy when Fergie left. So I went right off him, to be honest with you. Having said that, he was going to be or would have been a very, very, very good player for us in League One. So I'm sorry to see him go because I think he would have been very good for us this season, very good. Whether he's a championship quality player, I still think he has weaknesses in his game. And having said that, he played for Blackburn and scored yesterday, didn't he? So he couldn't have been too bad. A good player, yes, a good player. Perhaps the attitude I didn't like so much towards the end, but he will be a miss for us in this league because he would have been a very, very, very good League One player. There's no two ways about that.
Ultimately, obviously, it's always a shame to see a well-liked player go. I don't necessarily agree with the whole attitude thing. I think any player that's not getting played is ultimately going to want to leave. I think that's par for the course. And, you know, the fact that his attitude obviously changed when he was getting minutes just shows that he was a player that just wanted to play. And ultimately, that's kind of what you want from any player, really. I think ultimately it is a shame as well. I think he'd have been a very, very good player for us this year. You know, ultimately would have scored 10, 15 goals at least. I think we also just have to remember what a good job he did for us in terms of getting us promoted. I think he did score 7 last year, which is still not bad for a relegated side. And also for a player that, you know, didn't start week in, week out. I think also it says a lot about his mentality that you know, he started last week, even though, you know, knowing that the transfer was going to go through. You know, he was in the right mindset to play the game, played well, I thought, especially second half, you know, started off the move for one of the goals as well. I think it's a shame he's gone, but, you know, for that fee, you know, it's a good move for him, maybe a good move for the club as well.
I wouldn't want to touch a player with a barge pole if he can't cope with being dropped. It's all I'm saying. Everyone wants to play, of course they do, but there are times where you're not playing well, so you might need to be dropped, or you're not playing because you don't fit into the tactical side of things. You can't just then have a hissy fit. You've got to be professional off the pitch as well. And I think perhaps that's where he fell down a little bit. I agree, very good player. I'd have him in our team all day long. But I just feel I like players who can deal with disappointment. You know, we're all adults in this world. Sometimes you don't get what you want, and you've got to be able to deal with that. And yeah, you might be dropped because you're not playing very well. And I think that was fair comment for Smodics last season. But you want that very professional attitude, don't you? I mean, yeah, you can't stop him, you know, going on to bigger and better things. And good luck to him, you know. And he did do well for us. There's no two ways about that. And he is a big loss to us, I think, as a player.
I see both sides of that. I think you're referring to Kisby. I think he liked the post, didn't he? And probably shared it or something when Fergie resigned. So, yeah, I mean, I weren't a fan of that. I was a fan of him as a footballer, like you say, Kisby. League One plays, top end, Championship, still unproven. This will be his third attempt at the Championship. So if he doesn't get it right now, I think that will be probably him in League One. So, yeah, definitely one of our better players. So it is a shame to lose him. However, the fee, I think if it is 2.5, which again, we just don't know, I'm more than happy with that. I think that is it's very high. I really do. Because obviously, like we've just said, he is unproven at Championship level. So, no, for me, disappointing to see him go. Wish him all the best. I think he's one of the players to, you know, who were good to have in the dressing room, as cliche as that sounds. He was one of them vibrant, you know, he was a fun personality. So it's a shame to see him go. But I think the club are looking at bringing in, they've got a shortlist of 3 or 4 they want to replace him with. So we will see on that one. Let's listen to Tim Stoodley's comments.
Hey, lads. Sorry I can't be there,
Danny,
to record this episode with you. I am far too busy working and helping the members of our community when they need it. And when I say working, the reality is I'm probably sat outside a hospital somewhere waiting to offload a patient. But in any case, I can't be there today. And I'm gutted because there's such a positive vibe around the club at the moment, and I totally wanted to be part of that. We talked about the summer transfer window and how wonderful that had been for us, and it was a 5-star summer and the best that we'd had in the DMAC era. And I wondered if Sammy Smodic's departure would put a blight on that, whether that would change anything. My thoughts with Sammy leaving: he's a great guy. He's the sort of character that you would want at the club, a wonderful personality, and you can never fault his work rate. However, he is an average League One player, in my opinion. He's great, and I would rather have him in the team this season. But if the fees that have been reported are true, we've had Blackburn's pants down there, haven't we? He's a player that, and I know Kisby said this on the last episode, he's a player that will play up to the occasion. And I knew that he would score on his debut. You guys know that I put money on this because he's that kind of player. Big game, Sammy Smodics will turn up, which is great. The problem is, it's the other 45 games in the season. I don't think we need to panic. I think this is a good transfer window still for us. And for that sort of money, I'm happy to take that, I think. The thing that's annoyed me a little bit about Sammy's departure is the fact that club legend has been branded around loads on social media. Keep seeing people saying he's a club legend, he's a club legend, he should be, you know, name up in lights, you should have the stadium named after him. Well, being a nice guy doesn't make you a club legend, I don't think. I think because he has charisma, which is quite short in footballers these days, he's sort of seen upon more favourably than perhaps his ability suggests. But hey, that's just my opinion. And whilst I'm gutted that he's not an option for us this season for that sort of money, for me, it's a there's no questions to be asked with Sammy leaving.
Did Tim record that for just waking up? Is he drowsy? Or maybe some of his patients' medication? Just touching on what Tim said, I disagree in a sense where I don't think he's an average League One player. I do think he's top end. I agree with him with the fee. I think that the fee, we've certainly got a good deal there. So, the legend thing, again, I've seen that a lot. I know Dara called him it. And no, for me, he was part of a promotion winning squad. So he's always going to be, looked upon fondly. But I think legend, I'm not having that.
Who's calling him a legend, though? Because he was all right. He was good, but he didn't play that long for us, did he? And
I think some of that comes from, obviously, what he did during lockdown when there was one of the young fans that was sort of having some mental health issues. And he sort of reached out to him. I think some of it comes from that, which, rightly so, if he's ultimately, helped someone get back on the right side of things.
Oh, yeah, legend of a man, possibly. But if we're talking, solely football-wise, what he's done for the club, don't get me wrong, you can see he's a cracking fella. And like you say, that thing he did with a fan is, you don't see much of that nowadays. So that, no, you can't fault him. Brilliant. But what he did on the pitch, I think, a tough one. But like Tim said in his clip, I think people see, like you just said, Nathan, the things he did outside of football. And maybe, that goes with him as well. So, no, brilliant player for me. And I'm sad to see him go. But if the fee is correct, then I think the club have done the right thing. And again, touching on the transfer window, yes, it's been a good window. And for me, it's still been a brilliant window. Unless we lose a Johnson Clark Harris or someone like that. So, no, I'm still more than happy with how the window's gone so far. The fans forum, did any of you go? Kisby, is that something you'd go to?
No.
No, I only say that because when they pan out on the YouTube video, everyone's like at least 86. So I thought you'd be in there.
You know what? I wouldn't have a problem going to one. I have to say, I don't know why I don't. Does it cost money? Is that the reason I don't go? I don't know.
It's like £2 for charity. Ah, yes.
Now we're finding. Now we're finding the reason why. That's well out of my price range by £2 for B5.
It's a shame to hear that Dara sort of said, he's going to get us promoted and then, jump ship. And that's going to be a shame because I think, he's ultimately been the owner that's pushed us this far and made us been this successful in sort of my lifetime anyway. So that was kind of something that did alarm me slightly, I must admit.
I think you have to take everything with a pinch of salt, what Dara says, don't you? Just like,
oh, absolutely. With a pinch of salt.
Well, that's what I was going to touch on, because obviously that's the main headline that comes from it. And I think that was what disappointed me. I've said from the start, I've had my disagreements with him in the past, but I've got a lot of respect for Darren McCann. And I want him to be the club owner, club chairman for many years to come. I am a fan of him. But I do wish he wouldn't. Don't get me wrong. He was very honest throughout the forum. And some of the questions at RE Stadium, he just batted it away. So, look, it's not my domain. I don't deal with that side of it. And that probably wasn't what the fan wanted to hear. But he was honest and said, look, it's not my business now. His football side of it is purely his thing. So, fair enough. But I just think I know he said it before and that, I'll get us up and then leave. There is a feel-good vibe around the club at the minute. And I just think that, I don't know about you, Nathan, I just think it puts a bit of a cloud over it, doesn't it? Because then you're casting the net 9 months time and thinking, right, we're up. And then are we going to be in a position where we're up and, 50% shareholders has left and, we're starting again in the championship, which would be disastrous. I'm not a fan of that. I wish he wouldn't have said that, but if that's what he's going to do, we'll see. But like you say, Kisby, pinch of salt with some of it possibly.
I mean, you can debate about all these sorts of things hypothetically till the cows come home. And it's pointless, isn't it? You deal with the reality of the situation at the moment. We've got three owners at the moment. You work on that premise going forward sort of thing. What people say and what actually happens can often be very different.
Yeah, another interesting bit of news that came out of it was that the CEO of the football club, David Payton, is not in the building. He's away from the club. And won't be returning anytime soon. It just seemed very, very odd. I don't know what you thought of that, Nathan.
Yeah, that was something I did note. it obviously is a worry because you haven't got technically an acting CEO there. Obviously, I know Darren mentioned that, you know, there was someone else that kind of done a sort of caretaker job in the role. But yeah, it seems obviously a little bit strange considering, you know, he's only been there since, I think it was January, was it? Around then. But I guess time's going to have to tell with that one.
No, I think naturally you presume the worst, don't you, with things like that, when someone just disappears. And say nothing, Kisby, by the way. When someone just disappears from the role they're doing, and yeah. Let's move on because I know what he's going to say. According to Darren McAntony, the Peterborough United squad is worth £40 million. Now, Kisby's already laughing at that. I think the worth is whatever you value it yourself. I think that's more of an opinion. And one thing that I would say about Dar is he's always got good fees. I've transfer market value it at 10 million, Dar at 40. I would put it somewhere in the middle. 10 million is nonsense because I think we could get 10 million for a player or two without a shadow of a doubt. I think 40 might be a bit high. But yeah, there's assets in this squad for sure, isn't there?
It's a very solid squad, isn't it? It's a very solid team. You look at it and you think there's no major upcoming young stars as such.
Ronnie Edwards,
Ricky, Harrison.
Apart from Edwards, and I'm still not sold on any of our defenders, Edwards included, being megastars, to be honest with you. I would argue that there's no like proven players that are only 21, 22, 23 that we could flog off for a mega amount of money. There's a lot of solid players in that team. There's a lot of good players that are perhaps coming towards their peak, or if not at their peak, sort of thing, say JCH, for example. But there's not a player you can look at and think, yeah, apart from Edwards, perhaps, that he's going to go for big money because he's proven and he's young, sort of thing. So I'd agree with what you've said, Jared, about the sort of, you know, price of our squad.
So let's go to the first game of the season, season opener away at Cheltenham.
I thought first half we just didn't really get going, did we? And probably deserved to be a couple of goals down, as it turned out to be. And then obviously the Rockets gone in at half time, and you know, we've come out of it with a really, really good win. And I think it's you know, great for simply for the fact that we've shown that we can come back from a couple of goals down. You know, the mentality is there. I think, you know, to win your opening game is really, really important. You know, I think it was just, yeah, it was a solid performance in the second half. I think obviously we need to just maybe try and write off the first half performance, and just take the confidence in that first game as we did into the second game yesterday.
Well, me and Kisby, we caught a quick flight to Tunisia to watch the game. He brought some of his out of date snacks, and yeah, we watched it together. Kisby was incredibly negative. It says on their script, actually, did Matt Kisby write off the season at half time? Yes is the answer. This team is not going to be good enough. We're not going to go up. League two.
Do you know what? I'd written off our keeper before he even...
He's a child. He's a child. He's a child that's been stretched. That's all
it's going to be awful. I tell you what, that first half was the worst I've seen us play, and I'm including last season in the Championship. For many a season, we were that awful in the first half. We were
defending,
and forget about it being 2-0. It should have been 4-0. There was two golden opportunities where they should have put the ball away, Cheltenham. And obviously, if they had, that would have been 4-0 and it would have been game over. We were that awful against a team that, let's face it, is not going to be that great this season. Yeah, they might be a mid-table team, but I very much doubt they'll be in the sort of top six. I'd be surprised if they are. And they played us off the park. We were so bad. And our defence looked woeful in that first half. And I had, yes, written us off at half-time because I thought if we play like this... And I was genuinely shocked how bad we were in that first half, because I was going into this season, like I think everyone was, really confident. I thought we will be a very strong team at this level of football, and we just looked awful in every department, but especially in the defence. And as I say, we were lucky to go in at 2-0 down. I said at half time, I've seen many, many, many games where a team goes in 2-0 up and finishes the game 2-2. I've seen millions of games like that in my time. So it's not that unusual for a team to come back in the second half, but it is quite unusual for a team to come back and win. And I think that bodes very, very, very well for this season, because I think there'll be a lot of times where we're perhaps not firing on all cylinders. But if we can show that heart and soul that we showed second half, and I thought it was a brilliant comeback, I really did. And I think we were just about worthy of it. And I will say about the keeper, he made one or two really crucial saves in that first game, and which secured us the points. And okay, it wasn't so important on Saturday, but he made one or two really, really good quality saves in that game as well. Not so important, I don't think. But
going back to the lineup, I know me and you, Kisby, it looked a bit disjointed before they even got out, didn't it? With I think Knight was at right back, and obviously,
yeah,
we was playing more, you know, with wingers, obviously Jay Jones on the wing as well, which I'm a big fan of. I think he'll come good there. But it was just very frustrating that, you know, we didn't get Jack Marriott and Clark Harris into the lineup. And I think
it was absolute madness not to play Marriott, probably the best technical striker in League One, leaving him on the bench. What sort of strategy is that?
Well, that is, I think that is his.
And I'll get quoted on this, won't I? But if he hadn't been on the pitch, he wouldn't have scored.
Sorry? If he hadn't been on the pitch, he wouldn't have scored. Amazing. No, my thoughts on it was very much that. I'm a massive fan of Jack Marriott, and I think, you know, we have to have them two playing. And when he did come on, obviously, the game changed, didn't it? It was obviously him and JZH got the goals. And for me, again, this shows it with JZH that he's going to be, he is going to be that player who can roll his sleeves up and dig us out the shit, which he did. He did on the first game of the season. So, no, poor performance first half. I think the defence, like you said, was really worrying. It's like, if that would have been a Championship team, we'd have been 4-5 down, because they, you know, they weren't that clinical. They did miss a lot of chances as well, and they've got a good striker in Alfie May. So it could have been a lot worse. We did get let off a little bit. But like I said to you, Matt, when we was watching it, it's in the Championship, you go 1-0 down, but certainly two, is game over. But in League One, we know we can go 2 or even say 3-0, and you know you've got that chance, because with the firepower we've got, is outrageous. But we have to be playing them. And obviously, we're going to touch on Morecambe, which obviously those two started, and so yeah, it'll be interesting. But Tim Stoodley, do you know what? He's not on the podcast, but he's got comments all over. Let's listen to see what he said.
Well, this was a great game to watch. I mean, by half time, that was it. Season was over. We're going down into League Two. The world's going to end. DMAC should leave. But second half showed something really, I think, really encouraging, not just because of the performance, but there's one massive difference already between that half of football and last season, and that was that our manager had a plan B. Our manager was able to adapt, improvise and overcome, and we did not see that under Darren Ferguson last year. I know it's unfair to keep making these comparisons, but it's the truth. Darren Ferguson had no plan B pretty much in all of his time at the club, not just last season. We saw there that Grant McCann was dynamic and was quick and was fluid in his ability to change the tactics, and it paid off. We could see that we had greater firepower than Cheltenham. Cheltenham weren't anything special. We were just really poor in that first half. But we got it absolutely right second half. And that strike partnership between Marriott and JCH has got real potential to just be insane.
I think it's a good point there by Tim with McCann, with his substitutions. They did certainly change the game. But just touching on the five substitutions you can do now?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a massive plus to all the teams in the league who have, you know, top-end quality squad, because, say, with our bench, you can completely change the game. We're making, you know, sticking three players on at once. It's going to be a game-changer for us, and it was v Cheltenham.
I think, to be fair, what Tim was saying about McCann changing at half-time, and saying how wonderful McCann was to change it at halftime. Well, we were so bad in that first half. He had to, didn't he? He had no option because we were that bad. So it was a case of it was a bit of a no-brainer for him. So, I mean, he was right to do it. Of course he was. But we were that bad in the first half. He had to do it.
What I thought going into that halftime was I for some reason, I don't know why, I just had a feeling we'd go on and win it. I've no idea why. I just thought that Grant would go in and literally just give him a firebomb and basically say, just get yourselves back out there and sort it out. And that is ultimately what happened. I mean, obviously the substitutions, as we said, you know, changed the game. But I think whatever he said at halftime is done exactly what it was meant to do. But I had just this strange idea at halftime that we were just going to turn it around. I don't know why. I just had a feeling and luckily it was right.
We'll be taking a short break now, but when we come back, we'll be looking back at Morecambe and the fixtures upcoming.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Are you a fan of the Yellow Block? Do you want to hear episodes before the general public? Then get yourself a membership into the Yellow Block Club for just £2.49 per month. You can hear all episodes earlier, get access to behind-the-scenes content and access to our archive, which has got all the old episodes that we don't have online anymore. All this while supporting your favourite posh podcast to keep producing great content. Citation is probably needed there throughout the 2022-23 season. Just head on over to patreon.com/theyellowblock and sign up today. And one disclaimer here, the money that we earn from Patreon does not go towards Jared's Just Eat account, despite some rumours that I've seen on Twitter.
Yeah, the game itself, I was really impressed. I thought we played really, really well. I was more than happy. What do you reckon of the 90 minutes and the 3-0 win, Nathan?
I thought we were great. Yeah, much improved. You know, solid 8 out of 10 performance. Really, you know, score 3, keep a clean sheet. Thought goalkeeper looked really, really good again, which was good to see. You know, quite commanding. I thought the one thing I did think was actually really, really interesting, and probably actually is going to serve us well for the rest of the season, was the fact that the two strikers didn't score and the goals came from elsewhere. Which I think, you know, as I've said, is going to be a key kind of attribute for us going into the season. You know, I think Ben Thompson looks an absolute brilliant find. I think he's going to be, you know, really energetic kind of box-to-box midfielder. It was good to see Joe Ward get a goal. I think that'll do wonders for him again. You know, he started the season off really, really well. And, you know, Kipriano, I mean, what a find he is as well. You know, as I said to you off air, Jared, I think he reminds me a bit of Jack Payne, like a tall Jack Payne. And, you know, he was a good player for the few years that we had him. So, yeah, I think all things looked really, really good yesterday. And, you know, I think ultimately to be one of the team or the only team that's you know, got 100% record is going to bode well. I think good start is never a bad thing. And obviously we just need to keep the ball rolling and, you know, keep winning games.
Before you share your thoughts, Kisby, I just wanted to touch on Joe Ward. I think he's one of our better players and he's got more potential than most. I think he's superb and he'll be a standout this year. But somebody messaged him on Twitter. I think they'd gone to the Posh Museum? I think you've been, Matt. And there was a picture of him and a little kid with a picture of Joe Ward. And it said something like, my son's having a picture with the best right back in League One. And Joe Ward replied saying, I'm not a right back, but thanks. I thought, fucking hell.
Yeah, it was a little bit harsh. Maybe yeah. He kind of thought a little bit more into reply that he put on there. But that's the dangers of social media, isn't it, in these things. I think, do you know what? I think it was a very professional performance on Saturday. I thought everyone played their part. I thought the keeper made one or two brilliant saves, actually. I don't think they were important in the overall context of how the game was going to go. Do you know what? In the same way, Jared, that you were saying earlier on, about when in the championship, when we went 1-0 down, that was sort of it. When we went 1-0 up in that game was over. We were too strong for them. And it was obvious to me that we would score more goals. We would score more goals. And I couldn't see Morecambe scoring, and they didn't score. As I say, there were one or two very good saves, to be fair, but I don't think it would, even if they scored, it wouldn't have affected us. We were just too strong for them in every single department. And the defence looked slightly better because they couldn't get past our midfield. Our midfield was brilliant. And I think Thompson was a man of the match, wasn't he? And quite rightly so, because he was very, very good. The one caveat is we've played two probably poorish sides. I think they're not going to be anywhere near the top. So we've played two poor sides. However, as we know with the posh, we never play well against poor sides. So it does bode well that we... Okay, let's forget about the first 45 minutes of the season, because that we weren't great. But we've looked good since, I think. And we were far too strong for Morecambe. Morecambe would have never have beaten us. And like you say, Nathan, it bodes well that our strikers didn't score, actually. Great posh teams have good midfields, have great midfields, and they have midfields that can pop up and score goals. Grant McCann himself was the epitome.
6 hours later.
But if we have got a good solid midfield that can knock in one or two goals when our strikers don't score, we're going to score a lot of goals this season. We must play aggressively this season. We must play to our strengths. Our strengths are attacking football. Our strengths are not in defence. So we need to play to our strengths. And our strengths is getting that ball up and letting the midfield, letting the strikers do their thing. That's where we are strong from. We're not strong in defence, even at League One level. We're okay, but I wouldn't say we're strong.
I'd argue you don't really need to be, though. Like you say, Nathan, with the goal shared around a little bit, and Kipriani, one of the new recruits, I thought he looked really, really good. Yeah. Great goal by him, and Ben Thompson as well, like you touched on, seriously good. If they can chip in from midfield, which you know, we've not had in a little while, to be honest, and not just relying on the front two.
What do you think to Randall? Because I wasn't massively impressed. I know he's a little bit dead when he came on, and it didn't massively impress me, I could say. He looks a little bit lightweight, I think. I mean, maybe I'm being a little bit hard to base it on
I mean, he's looked good in pre-season. Obviously, I know that's not a benchmark for what, you know, a player's ability is, but he's looked solid in pre-season, got a few goals. But I think ultimately with him, he just needs to play games. I think he's one of those players that probably needs to play 4 or 5 games on the bounce, and then you're going to see the real player. You know, obviously, you look at him and he reminds me of Grealish in that sort of, he's got that mazy sort of jinking run about him. You know, he looks a busy player. I'm not so sure if he's a central attacking midfielder. I think he's probably more of a winger, if anything. And, you know, obviously in the system yesterday, we weren't necessarily playing with wingers until he came on. But actually, as a side note, I thought another interesting thing was that we changed the front three with, what was it, about 15 minutes left. And that just sort of, you know, finished the game off for us in terms of they ran their defence ragged when we were on the break. And to be honest, we probably could have nicked another goal. But I think that's going to be another key thing is that, you know, we've got strength in depth to be able to change it towards the end of the game, even if we're winning as we were, you know, yesterday, bring on a bit of extra pace. I thought Joe Taylor, you know, he looks, you know, dangerous, you know, another pacey player to add to that front line. So that was just another thing that I noticed and thought was really, really good to see.
I'll tell you one thing I did notice. I thought the referee was absolutely abysmal.
He was massively.
Not the greatest performance.
The Clark Harris thing, it got ruled for offside when he got hacked down, but it was a back pass. It was just absolute nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes to prove my point. What I always say, when you're 3-0 up, or 4-0 up, or 5-0 up, it doesn't matter if decisions like that go against you. If you're 1-0 up, it can often matter. So if my advice, what it's worth, is make sure you're 3-0 up, and then it doesn't matter about poor decisions like that. Was it a poor decision or not? I think it was. I think the referee was poor. I thought referees were poor last season in the Championship, so I didn't think they were going to be any better in League One. But it didn't matter, did it? You know, we all know in football you can't always be 3-0 up. I mean, we should have been 4-0. We should have won that 4-0. Easily we should have won that 4-0, I thought. And I definitely think we should have got a penalty. But it didn't matter, did it? And it wouldn't have mattered if they'd have scored towards the end when our keeper made a really good save, because the game was dead and buried at that point. So if you can ensure that you have scored a few goals and you've got that little bit of a comfort zone, and it ensures that you get what you deserve out of the game, sort of thing, I always think.
So yeah, we're the only team in League One with a 100% record so far, but like Kisby said, we've not played any world beaters yet, but two games in, I think it's certainly couldn't get a much better start than that. We've shown a bit of grit coming from behind, and we've steamrolled a team as well, playing good football. So let's see what the coming weeks have to bring. Before the next episode, we'll play Plymouth twice, once in the League Cup and once in the league. Sheffield Wednesday and Lincoln at home. So some good games there. Looking at that then, let's discount the cup game, which is obviously the next one. So if we go for Plymouth away, Sheffield Wednesday at home and Lincoln at home, how many points are you expecting out of those three games? Nathan, to you first.
I'd say minimum 7, if not 9. I'd like to think we'd go into those games confident. You know, like I said earlier, we're the only team to have a 100% record so far. So, yeah, we should go in it with plenty of confidence. Plymouth, I think, aren't going to be the side that they were last year. Sheffield Wednesday probably, you know, need to be going up a club of their size, so they're going to be, you know, a difficult side to go up against, and obviously one of the sort of favourites for the league. And then Lincoln, I don't think have done too much. Probably going to be sort of mid-table, if not maybe pushing for the playoffs. So, you know, they're some tough games on paper, but you know, I'd like to think that at least two wins, and you know, if not maybe a draw in there as well. But yeah, that's what I'd say. Probably about seven points, roughly.
That's what I'm looking at as well. I think 7 would be good. What about you, Matt?
I tell you what, if we can get 3 points against all three of those sides, we're going to have a very, very good season. We really are. We might actually be better than what we think we are. Because I think it's always hard, isn't it? Especially early in the season, you get weird results. You do get weird results. And you shouldn't base too much on the first five games. You know, we could possibly win all three of those games, but it doesn't mean that we're suddenly going to finish top of the league, sort of thing. They will be stronger sides. Certainly Sheffield Wednesday, I would think, would be a stronger side. If we can, I know it's at home for us, so we've got a bit of an advantage, but if we can beat a team like Sheffield Wednesday at home, we're not going to have much stiffer opposition, I would argue. And I think if we can do well against them, that means we can do well against anybody. Doesn't necessarily mean we'll go on to then steamroller the league, but it will be really putting our stamp on this season, on this league, very, very quickly. Because, you know, all of a sudden, if we can get like 4, 5, 6 points ahead of other teams, that might be difficult for other teams to get back, sort of thing. Because if they're not quite as good as we think they're going to be, and we're slightly better than what we think we're going to be, then it could be, that could be difficult for them to get back into, you know, a league position comparable to us. So I think it'll be interesting one the next three games. It's still very early, so you don't read too much into whatever happens, even if we lose. But if we win, that is, all of a sudden, is very, very, very positive sign, I think. Because I think that Sheffield Wednesday's, for some reason, is the real crucial game out of those three. And what happens there may even be a good sort of sign to the rest of the season, I think.
Up step Tim Studley.
Plymouth up next. I can't do an away day guide for this one because I'm, well, working. Don't know if I mentioned it. Hashtag hero. But this will be a toughie. I mean, they've not pulled up any trees in the opening couple of weekends. but we know it's a tough place to go and play football. I'm still confident that we'll actually get a result. And as much as the likes of Cheltenham and Morecambe, you have to win, I think if we are serious about our automatic hopes this year, then Plymouth away is... it's probably also got to go down as a game you've got to be winning. I mean, it's not a disaster if you come away from home part with a draw, but I think we can win this. I see no reason at all why we can't, and I'm optimistic. I think a lot of it's going to depend on how Plymouth set up and how much they look to control the game rather than counter our threats. But I think a lot of teams this year are going to have that same challenge of knowing whether or not they should stamp their authority or look to nullify the effects of our front line. So I don't know, it's going to be a tough one. I'm confident about this, which, as you know, for me is quite unusual. I actually think we'll make a bit of a statement here. I can see another 3 goals. I do think we'll concede with Plymouth. So we'll go 3-1 posh, I think, against Plymouth for the league game. I don't really care about the cup, so I'm not going to make any major predictions there.
Elsewhere in League One, Wayne Rooney's Derby fans were adamant they'd be invincible this season. They lost their second game to Charlton. Milton Keynes lost their first 2 league games. That shocked me, to be honest. I still think they'll be strong. I think a lot of people are changing their predictions on them now, but I can still see them coming good. And there was a red card at Burton Albion as well, within the first minute, which is... I'm surprised Lee Tomlin don't play for them. Talking of Lee Tomlin, did anyone see his ridiculous 2 yellows?
It just... struck me as just typical Lee Tomlin, you know, just a bit daft, a bit silly. It also reminded me, do you remember in that second stint he had, I think it was one of his first games where he got sent off really early on. Most players wouldn't get involved in that kind of silliness, wouldn't have done something, you know, daft like that. But Lee Tomlin is that kind of maverick character and, you know, he should know better at his age. But yeah, he's daft.
He's pretty much finished now, isn't he? What is he, 33? In a recent survey, Peterborough United ranked 22nd best match day experience in League One. Only better than Cheltenham and Forest Green. Bias aside, you think that's fair? 22nd best match day experience? I think that's a bit harsh, don't you?
Yeah.
So we're third worst. Is that what you're trying to say, Jared?
Yeah. We're right at the bottom, aren't we?
That would have been an easy way to put it, Jared, so we could all understand what the fuck.
Well, fucking Danny writ it, didn't he?
No, I think the match day experience is fairly good, to be honest. I know that they've sort of made some changes with the food, which sort of sounds good. The pizza I saw on social media sounds all right. Obviously, I'm yet to try it. But
£9, Nathan. £9.
Was it?
Yeah. Not that I looked into it or anything. No, I'll be honest. I think, one, it depends what stand you're in. Obviously, the motor point is a nice stand. I know refreshments are a lot easier to get there. I think if you're in where the yellow block is and you got them old bus seats or them ones what have actually got testicle holders for you, I'm not so sure on that. I think that's a bit rough, to be honest. It's leg room is non-existent. But all food at football is overpriced, isn't it? At least we're not Forest Green when you have to have a corn pie. So I think it could be worse. I think 20 seconds really harsh, to be honest.
What the fuck are people going to football for? You're going to football to watch bloody football.
Not nowadays, Matt. It's all about the match day experience.
It's fan engagement, that's what it is.
That's it. Do you have an opinion on this episode or a general thought about the posh? Head over to theyellowblock.co.uk. You can go to the Have You Say page and either fill in the form or leave a voicemail. Follow us on the socials. We mainly use Twitter, but we're on Facebook and Instagram too. The next standard episode will be in 2 weeks. See you then. Up the posh.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.